Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
You might want to keep that passage open in front of you as we look at it together. But before I start, let us pray. Father God, as we look at this passage, which is familiar to so many of us, I just pray that you will give us open eyes to look at it anew, and open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us, to challenge us, to encourage us this morning, Lord. Amen. When I first saw that I'd be preaching on this passage, I must admit I felt a little bit overwhelmed. I remember many years ago here at St. Pat's, we spent a whole term looking at these verses. Last year in my home group, we spent a half term working through and studying these verses. And Martin reminded me a little while ago that those of you on the retreat looked at it over 7 talks over a weekend. Don't panic, we're not going to be here that long. But there's a huge amount in this passage that we can't hope to cover in one go. And I'm not even going to try, you'll be relieved to hear. But the thing I'd like us to think about this morning is how this passage helps us understand what a Christian should look like. Years ago, when I was less open about my faith, often at work, when people discovered I was a Christian, they were quite surprised, and they'd say something like, "But you don't look like one." And at the time, I was quite pleased. People saw me as the same as them. They saw me as normal, not some sort of Bible weirdo. But over the years, I've come to realise that actually that reaction is quite disappointing, that people didn't see me as a Christian. I wasn't any different to them. The way I acted or what I said didn't mark me out as a Christian. But when you think about it, what should a Christian look like? I'm looking out here and we are quite weird, really. But how should we act? How should we speak? So keep that in mind as we look at this passage together. And we're going to have a look at what it means to be blessed, to be happy, how we can be comforted when times are hard, and how that helps us, and how that is different to what the world expects. And we'll look at the promise that the kingdom of heaven is ours, and what that means to us today. And finally, we'll look at how, when the world maybe sees us as weak and vulnerable, that is when we are truly blessed. So let's start by having a look at what it means to be blessed. And as we discovered earlier, being blessed and being happy are pretty much interchangeable. So I'm going to talk for a little bit about being happy. And you may have seen the world's rankings for the happiest countries in the world. The report looks across a number of factors like income, healthy life expectancy, social support, freedom, trust, and generosity. Denmark is often rated as one of the happiest places to live and has been ranked top a number of years. The UK, on the other hand, comes in around ranked 15th. Now, as many of you know, Denmark is my second home, and I once asked my Danish family what the secret was for being such a happy nation. And they said with a smile, "It's because we have such low expectations." And as we discovered earlier, there's all sorts of things that make us happy. Playing sport, being with our families, walking the dog. We seek out that feeling of happiness that we might get when something nice happens in our lives. Because as humans, we naturally have a deep desire for happiness. We want to be happy in our lives. Our happiness in this world is in a moment in time because something nice has happened or we're with people who we love. Just think about a time when you were happy again. What was it that gave you that feeling? How long did it last? Now, it might have been for a long time, and sometimes we even try to hold on to that happiness. But eventually something else will happen, something that will stop us having that contented feeling. Our team loses, you still have to walk the dog in the rain, and quite often for me, it's just being on southern trains. What we will see as we look at this passage is that being happy, being blessed, is much more than that temporary or circumstantial feeling of happiness that we get in our everyday lives. It's a state of well-being in relationship with God that belongs to those of us who respond to Jesus' teaching. As we read through these verses, we see that happiness can be found in surprising situations, such as in those times when we mourn, when we come humbly before God, or when we're persecuted or insulted. We'll see that being truly blessed is recognising that our joy, our contentment, our happiness comes from God. That we can find a more powerful, longer lasting, much more sustaining happiness than that which we find in our society, in our everyday lives. And when we have that happiness, even in the hard and difficult times, we feel blessed because we know that God is with us in those moments. And we also trust him to see us through those times. And that gives us a very different outlook as we go through those times to those who maybe aren't a Christian. It's when we really rely on God that we are blessed and receive that sense of comfort, no matter how hard our situation is. So let's have a look at why that might be. Have you noticed how the first and last Beatitudes have a different ending to the rest? Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Whereas the verses in between have the phrase, "for they will," in relation as to why we're blessed. At either end of what Jesus is saying in this passage is the message that we are happy now because of what we already have. And that is that we are already part of God's kingdom today when we are right with him that is living an obedient life to his calling. We are blessed when we recognise we are in need of God's help, when we realise that we cannot do things in our own strength, but that we need God to help us. Think about the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee spent his time telling God how dutiful he had been, how he had obeyed all the laws. He thanked God for being better than the others around him, how he didn't compare to the robbers or evildoers. Whereas the tax collector couldn't even lift his head. He simply cried out to God to have mercy on him, a sinner. It was the tax collector who went home blessed. He was the one in the right relationship with God. He was the one who knew he needed God in his life and was blessed by that knowledge. Do we recognise the need for God in our lives? Do we rely on him for strength at all times? Or do we rely on our own strength? Do we do things our own way, thinking we don't need God, only to come unstuck when things go wrong? Or things don't turn out as we'd hoped. That happiness we thought something would bring only does so for a moment. And ultimately we feel just a bit left down, or the happiness has just disappeared. However, if we put our trust in Jesus and turn to him for our strength and happiness, we will find that sense of blessing, that comfort that can carry us through even the hardest times. And that's particularly helpful when we look at verses 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus is making it clear that being a Christian is not going to be easy. We will face hardship and challenge. But when it comes, we're not to worry, for we know Jesus is with us. Do we look different to those people around us who are not Christians? So different that maybe we are challenged about our faith. And if we are challenged, what do we do? Now, we are fortunate that we live in a country where we can worship freely and openly. We don't suffer the persecution that many Christians around the world face because of their faith, where they are persecuted in a way that can lead to imprisonment or even death. But we may suffer comments or ridicule for our faith, or people just being horrid to us. How do we respond? Do we stand up for God, or do we just let it go? At work, there was an incident where, looking back, I wish I had stood up for Jesus more. We have a 2-day meeting coming up, which means an overnight stay away from home. And initially, it was going to be on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And once the dates were all set, one of my colleagues announced that he had a personal appointment on the Tuesday evening, so wanted to change the meeting to a Wednesday and Thursday. Now, Wednesday is my home group night, and I pointed this out and explained that because over the last year, because of work or travel problems, I'd missed most weeks, and that I really wanted to go more regularly this year. It's really important to me. I did say I would fit in with everyone if it suited everyone else, but that it would be a huge compromise for me. The meeting got moved to Wednesday and Thursday. And the next time I saw my colleague, we were talking about it. And I jokingly said, "So, who decided your personal appointment was more important than mine?" And he just looked at me and replied, "It just is." And I was really shocked. So I said it again. I said, "No, you can't say that. Who decided?" "It just is, all right?" His tone and the look on his face told me he wasn't joking. So I turned and walked away. What I should have said is there is nothing more important than Jesus. A lesson learned for me. But also a reminder that I should have the confidence to be bold like that. To trust God to give me the words in those times. To put my trust in his strength and rely on him in my weakness. For he will not abandon me. And when I do stand up for God, I will be blessed. I felt I'd let God down because I didn't respond about the importance of Jesus. But on reflection, I did take some comfort that I had made it clear to all my colleagues that I was making a compromise here, and they know I'm missing my home group, which is really important to me. So I didn't hide completely, but I'm a work in progress. It's great to know, isn't it, that when we are right with God, when we rely on him, when we're challenged, it's fine. Because as Christians, we know we are already part of his kingdom. The really good news is that the qualification for being part of his kingdom is we don't deserve it. We don't have to do anything apart from accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Jesus died on the cross for our sins that we might have eternal life. The perfect, sinless Jesus took the punishment for our sins so that we can be part of the kingdom of heaven today. How incredible is that? And that should spur us on to put God at the centre of our lives, not to gain the reward of heaven, but to celebrate that we already belong there. It means we are blessed when we recognise we need God in our lives. We need his strength and support. And it also means we are blessed when we are persecuted because people have noticed we're different. And maybe they don't like it, or simply they just don't get it. They think we're a bit odd and don't know how to respond to us. But as it says in verse 12, in those difficult times, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What happens to us as Christians today has been happening for thousands of years. And the great thing is the reward is the same. God is with us now and always. I hadn't really noticed how verses 3 and 10 were linked before. Yes, I'd spotted they both ended with, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But as I was preparing this talk, it struck me that when we rely on God, when we recognise we are poor in spirit and come before him humbly, that is when we are blessed, because we know he is with us. Just as when we're in a time of persecution or insulted, we shouldn't worry because we know ours is the kingdom of heaven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And knowing that is a great blessing and comfort in those hard times. So finally, let's look at those verses in the middle of our passage. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You could write a sermon on each one of those separately, but I'm not going to. We live in a world where we hear things like, blessed are those who have power over others. Blessed are those who have financial success. Blessed are those who have big houses and fabulous holidays. But as we have seen time and time again, Jesus turns the world on its head. The theme that runs through these verses is that vulnerability leads us to relying on God. And when we do so, we find the deep happiness of peace from him. Those who are truly blessed are those who learn to completely trust in God in all things and for all things. It's often at our low points in our lives, suffering hardship, whether through poverty, illness, relationship breakdown, that people turn and completely rely on God. And we find that when we do trust in him in that time of hardship, we realise that we are truly blessed. Not that the difficulty or challenge disappears or goes away, but because we know we're trusting God, we know we're not alone. God is with us, in it and with us. Then we realise we are really blessed. This last half term, we've done the Talking Jesus course in our home group. If you haven't done it yet, it's a brilliant course. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about telling our stories, thinking about how we can talk about Jesus in our everyday lives through sharing parts of our Christian story. And one of the strong themes that came through was our reliance on God in hard times, how even though something awful was happening, we felt blessed. God with us, giving comfort and strength to carry on. Someone said they were really encouraged during one difficult period in their life when somebody said to them, Jesus is weeping with you. God is right there with us in our pain and suffering. And we're able to share that when we talk to non-Christians who may be going through a difficult time. It's when we recognise that we are vulnerable and need God in our lives that we are truly blessed. What I love about these verses is the recognition that in those things that the world sees as a weakness, that is when we will be blessed. These verses help us see what it really looks like to be a Christian. They highlight those ways and times when we are called to act differently to how people in the world would expect. To show mercy when someone slights us or upsets us. To bring peace in a situation where someone is expecting an argument. It's being pure in heart, staying true to what Jesus teaches when the world wants to lead us in a different direction. It's in those hard times when we are most vulnerable, where the world may see us as weak, that we will be blessed by God and know his peace and comfort. And knowing that should give us the strength and desire to live differently. And that's the challenge for us today. We're called to live differently to how the world expects. And when we do, then it gets noticed by people. And hopefully it'll get them talking. And sometimes that might be in a negative way. But it also gives us opportunities to talk about Jesus, to name him. Think back to my first story at the start of my sermon, when I was thankful that people didn't think I looked like a Christian. Now I know that's not a compliment. And I want people to see I'm different. I want them to ask why so I can talk about Jesus. Now, I do know colleagues who do see me as different. They'll sometimes say, they'll be talking and they'll be really angry and they'll say, I want to say a swear word, but I'm talking to you, so I won't. Or they notice that I care about people and ask them how they are. Now, I don't know whether they've made that connection between my behaviour, the fact that I'm different to others, to being a Christian. That's not really the point. I am trying to live as God wants me to, and I pray it will bring me opportunities for me to talk about Jesus. We're called to live differently, to look different to those around us who are not Christians. These verses, the Beatitudes, give us lots of help in understanding of what a Christian looks like. They're also a huge challenge to live up to. But for me, they come down to two points. We know when we are at our weakest and rely on God, that is when we are truly blessed. And knowing that encourages us to choose to live a certain way because we are already part of the kingdom of heaven. God is with us always in every moment of our lives, and that should make us happy. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you are always with us, that in trusting and following you, ours is the kingdom of heaven. Help us live differently to what the world expects. Help us to be ready to answer when asked why. Help us to rely on your strength in our weakness, knowing that we will be blessed. We have that peace and comfort that comes only from you, sustaining and blessing us throughout our lives. Amen.